I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Hey everyone, what a delight to be speaking to you again. And I am looking forward to sharing this message. I love this message. It's something God laid on my heart. Earlier this year, in conjunction with the overarching theme of the year called Greater Works, which we know Jesus spoke about in John 14:12, when he said, "The works I do, you will do them also. But greater than these will you do." And it's hard to imagine that we could ever do greater than raising the dead, healing the sick, and these kinds of things. But obviously, in greater numbers, these are going to happen. But also something that could not be done before Jesus died and rose again was to bring people into regeneration so they are born again. That is possibly the greatest work, I would think it is, that we can actually accomplish on this earth. We could get people who are sick healed, and yet if they're not born again, eternal life is not in them to live with God for eternity. And so our greatest work is to actually come to a place where we are so yielded and surrendered to God that He's able to use us. So this message comes out of Isaiah 6 verse 1, but before we go there, I want to take you to Matthew 22:14, where there's that often misunderstood passage that Jesus said, "Many are called, but few are chosen." That word "chosen" can equally as well be translated "choosable." So many are called, but few are choosable, like a farmer or an orchardist walking down past his apple trees. He's not going to pick one that's unripe, that's still green. He's going to pick the ripe ones. And the difference between an apple, a peach, an orange, is that they have no choice in the matter. It is just a natural process by which they become ripe enough to be picked by the farmer. You and I, however, we do have choices, whether we will cooperate with God, whether we will actually obey Him, surrender to Him, and make ourselves available. And that's what we want to talk about in this passage of Isaiah 6, verse 1. I want to bring you 7 steps to being one of those who God chooses to use in the earth and make a difference in humanity for eternity. In Isaiah 6, 1, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." So King Uzziah was a great king, and he was a good king. He reigned for 52 years from a very young age until older. He didn't make too many mistakes. He made incredible improvements throughout the entire nation. But later in his life, his pride got the better of him, and he felt he could do anything he wanted, even the work of a priest in the temple, and they warned him, but he went ahead anyway. And because of that, he got leprosy for the last few years of his life, and he died as a leper, simply because at that moment he just got hard against receiving advice. Now, this king, though, overall was a good king for the nation. and for the people and for the purposes of God in the earth. And yet, Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. It's like, he's a good king, but he's obscuring the view that the prophet had of God. Now, Isaiah was already a prophet. This wasn't an initial experience like that birthed him into ministry. This was something that happened to him well along the road of ministry. And every one of us need fresh encounters and fresh surrenders to take us into the next level so God can choose us for the next thing that he has got for us. And so in the year that King, and I always find it interesting that King Uzziah starts with you. And in the year that King you died, I saw the Lord. There's something in every one of us that actually is going to die. And part of the journey to the fulfillment of a dream or of a vision, something that God is asking you to do, in that journey, there's going to be a death where something dies. And I've experienced this like with myself, feeling like my will has been broken to God. And I've been able to say Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. There's got to come a time where we feel like we've identified with Jesus, not just in theory, but in reality, through experiences that have kind of killed us. I found God speaking to us about Sydney very early on in my Christian life, about 1 year after I was born again. And so I thought, wow, we're meant to go. So God had told me that's what we were going to do, but the timing was wrong. And I tried twice to actually go there. And one of those times I did, but I had to get back into the timing of God, not just the location where he wanted me, but there was a time for his purposes. And I was learning that if we're unbroken, we're like a horse that is just running off doing its own thing. But when you are, and they talk about breaking in a horse, there will come a trial in everyone's life where God is teaching us obedience, where he is wanting us to do what his will is, not ours. So through that experience, I went back to New Zealand and had my tail firmly between my legs. And I went back to being a postman. And I couldn't even really get myself excited about the ministry. It had died. And I was happy to be a Christian, going to church. But the quest to become something for God, it kind of faded. And I was a little heartbroken about that, but I accepted this. But then there came a day where God spoke to me, said, I want you to start a church. And I was so happy because I didn't care what he said, just that he was talking to me and I could feel my spirit rise. And it was to go and start a church in a tiny little town that these days nobody would be excited about, but I was super excited because God was starting to use me in a way that I had ached on the inside to be used by God as a pastor, to serve him. And so I saw him, if you like, after that experience. Isaiah saw the Lord. And I don't know if you've ever had one of those things that comes between you and God. It's not a great day when you're praying and as soon as you go, Lord, and something else is there. It just swings across because it's got a priority in your heart and your heart can't get around it. It's a little idle. And when we decide I'm going to deal with that, no matter how difficult it is, we'll get a fresh vision of the Lord. And that's essential for us so that we constantly finding our spirit revived in its relationship with God. And if we can't see him, we're not going to hear him or know exactly what we're meant to do. I mean, the second point is the vision coming into a supernatural zone. Now, I believe we need a vision of God before we get a vision for our ministry. There may be all kinds of things that you want to do for God and not even really know Him and have a vision of Him, a clarity about Him. He wants us to see Him first and for Him to be more important than anything we do for Him. If we haven't got God with us, what are we going to bring people other than a message and a few ideas? The experience, the reality of God in heaven needs to be transmitted from every one of us as ministers, as the people of God, serving in His house as Christians. God needs to be traveling with us. And when we see Him, we can draw near to Him and Him to us. Now, I'm not talking about actually seeing Him with these eyes, but there is a duplicate set of faculties, if you like, in our spirit man within us that can hear, that can taste, that can feel, that can see God. And when we are born again, the Bible says, unless a person's born again, they cannot see the kingdom. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That vision is important for us in getting prepared to be choosable. The third thing is encounter. It says in Isaiah 6:2, above the throne stood seraphim. These are huge angels with great wings, fiery beings. Each one had six wings, and with two covered his face, two he covered his feet, two he flew. So these seraphim were in front of the throne and around the throne, and they were singing, "Holy, holy, holy." But each one of us, we need to identify a moment in our lives that is supernatural. I've read a lot of biographies, and there's not one of them of men of God, of people who've been called by God, who haven't had a moment, an encounter, where they knew they were called, where they experienced the Holy Spirit, or where they an angel met with them. God isn't beyond meeting with you supernaturally in this hour. You don't have to try and make it happen, but I am telling you, when you are in prayer, when you are waiting on God, there's going to come a time where you know He's there speaking to you. Now, this brings me to a point that I'm assuming that all of us are devoted to prayer. We are thinking, yeah, that's part of my basic Christianity, prayer, reading the Bible, being in the house of God. And so understand that if we're not in prayer, we're not giving ourselves an opportunity to actually meet with the Lord. Prayer is so vital. It's your spirit breathing. Now, your body can do without food for about 6 weeks. You can do without water for maybe 3 days. But your lungs can't do without air for, well, sometimes only a minute, 3 minutes at the max. Your breathing is like your spirit praying. And every day of our lives, having that communion with the Father, having a time of prayer in the morning or in the evening, it is vital to us staying spiritually alive. It's not an option. And then praying as churches together. We've got to do that for the church to breathe the air of heaven and for us to genuinely get people born again so we're not just having decisions, but we're making disciples so that people are, they come into the kingdom completely because the church gave birth to them in prayer. This is really, really on my heart that we see people genuinely, utterly converted. When I met the Lord, I didn't need following up. I was following up the pastor. Say, when's the next meeting? Hi, can I come around and talk to you? I want to know more. And when the fire is lit and people's spirit and they're born again, and they haven't just said some words at the front of church, but they've actually encountered God and He has put His spirit in them. When we pray for these things, we will find ourselves bringing that effect into people's lives. Our fourth point is that every one of us are called to be worshipers. And so worship, having genuine, high-sounding praise and worship coming from our heart to God, becomes extremely important in being choosable. God is looking for worshipers, people who worship Him in spirit and in truth. So understand this. Peter calls us a royal priesthood. He also says that we are living stones being built up into a temple, and that we are called as priests to offer up spiritual sacrifices, which is worship, thanksgiving, praise. So every time you and I are in church, sitting in our seat, singing and worshiping, that's part of your calling as a priest, as a royal priesthood. When people say to you, look, why don't you come out surfing with me this morning, great waves. And you say, I got to go to work. What, on Sunday morning? Yeah. What are you doing? Oh, I got to go down and fulfill my purpose. I got to be a worshiper and be one of those in the house of God that draw the presence of God into that building. Every one of us are serving the Lord when we go to church on a Sunday morning. And that's our part. That's when we're doing something. We're not just listening to a preacher or listening to announcements or watching a video. We are actually engaged in ministry as soon as we stand and begin praying, worshiping, singing to God. That is part of our calling. And every one of us should be not just a public worshiper, but private. That in our lives, we are worshipers singing to God. We are a walking God unit because the cloud of God lives on us. We are worshipers. Remember Paul and Silas at midnight? Incredible. They started praising God and the whole jail broke up. Number five is repentance. Let me say this, that repentance is essential to have in our spirit so that any day, sometimes every day, you have a capacity to say in your heart, I'm so sorry, Lord, and to bring it into the light and to ask for forgiveness. This isn't just for when you get saved. You're going to have a whole lot more reasons to need forgiveness walking as a believer. But Jesus has died for us so that in Him we have forgiveness. And we have it and appropriate it into our lives by saying, Lord, I'm sorry. A hard heart can't do that. So repentance is like a gift from God, the most priceless gift, which enables us to come into the light and say, God, I'm repenting. I'm turning away from this. And no matter how many times we might deal with an issue and find ourselves in that very sorry circle before it breaks, but Jesus told us to forgive anybody who offends us 70 times seven, indicating it never ends. And so that is the same with God. His love for you will never stop. He loves every freckle on your face. He is in love with every single human on the earth and aches for them to be washed and cleansed by the blood of Christ. But that can't happen unless we repent and bring sins into the light. Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King. So the closer you get to God, the more aware you are of shortcomings. And so the more there's a need to actually repent of those. And then there's also a need to understand the strength of our salvation. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So I'm not talking about condemnation. I'm talking about when we feel conviction. And then It says that as we figure out that we are saved and there's no condemnation and we're justified by faith in Christ, that our salvation is sure. So we move through the doorway of repentance into the living room of faith. Nobody lives in a doorway, but we live in victory, overcoming the devil because we've taken out all the legal ground that he ever had to stand on in our lives. Number six, cleansed. Isaiah 6:7, it says, the angel touched my mouth with a coal that he had taken off the altar. That's got to hurt. And I realize we are cleansed by the blood of Christ. But sometimes that doesn't actually change our behavior or habits that we've had in our lives. But definitely when we go through a painful time, a difficult time, a challenging time, it will modify us. And Jesus isn't just here to give us some truths on a paper. He wants truth to be in our lives so that we live them, so that we are changed. And the Holy Spirit is always at work in us, changing us into the image of Christ. And the more we are broken to him and changed and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, the more usable we are, the more choosable we become. And the last one is chosen. And this is important because God chooses people that he's going to use. And sometimes we can look on and say, why is he using that person? That is God's choice. He knows their heart, what they've been through, what price they've paid. And this prophet, Isaiah, he is in the presence of the Lord. He's gone through these things. He's gotten closer to God, become aware of his shortcomings, confessed them. He's cleansed. He aches for God. He's a worshiper. He's in there. And it's like God isn't noticing him, but God's having a conversation over here. And he's saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? It's the Trinity. Who will go for us? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God is speaking there. Who will go for us? And Isaiah is overhearing this conversation. So at this point, Isaiah could be any one of us. God wasn't saying to Isaiah, will you go for us? He was just saying it. Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, hey, I'm here. Send me. I'm available. And God is looking for that availability far more than ability. We might be able to do all kinds of things, but are we ready to do the will of God? Are we surrendered to him? And today, I want to know if you are able to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Use me to do greater works here on this earth. If you're a young person and you're saying, I want to give you my life, Lord, I'm laying it down before you, then maybe there's an altar call or a situation right there where today you could do that. And you could just say, Lord, I'm here to serve in your house, to worship you, to be given over to your plan, not mine. When we do that, our life will be the most adventurous, incredible experience we can have. And life is going to be over pretty quick for every one of us. I don't mean that we're going to have an early death. I mean, 80, 90 years, not going to seem like a lot once we hit eternity. And none of us want to be grinding our teeth saying, oh, I wish I'd lived for Christ. I wish I'd lived for God. I wish I'd laid down my life. And that doesn't mean that we're all going to end up behind pulpits preaching. And only 3% will do that. No, most of us will be in the marketplace, serving God, bringing the presence of God into our world just through our own lives. And then serving together in the house of God, we're able to be that priesthood of believers, singing his praises forever. Lord, I pray for every person seeing this video, hearing this message, that today the great power of the Holy Spirit would rest on us and give us the grace to yield our lives to to you and the mighty Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, at our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.